Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die. For Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today. IssueZTC.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
Welcome back here in the last 25 minutes of this Tuesday's Issues, Etc. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. We're going to be talking about, well, at one point we are told never to trust this, and at another point we are told that it is a good gift from God. We're going to talk about the use and abuse of reason and the relationship of faith and reason. Some people want to separate them entirely, as though they have nothing to do with one another. Others want to combine them together so that they become part and parcel of one another, or entirely dependent upon one another. And usually in that case, reason always wins out. Then we end up with kind of a soft skepticism. So how do we avoid that and yet rightly use the good gift of God's reason? Pastor Stephen Parks is pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver and author of a recent article in Higher Things magazine titled Use and Abuse, the Proper Role of Reason in the Christian Faith. Stephen, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me back today. I appreciate it very much.
Is reason itself a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, let me give you a simple answer to that. Yes. And what I mean by that is it is both good and bad, depending on what sort of sphere we're trying to use it in. It's a bit like saying, is the law a good thing or a bad thing? Well, the law, we know, is very good. The problem with the law has nothing to do with God or with the law itself, but instead it has to do with us and our misuse of the law. So, for example, when we try to use it in order to figure out how to justify ourselves before God and that sort of thing, it's very much the same thing with reason. When we use reason as the gift in which it has been given to us, and when we use it in the way that Luther discusses it in the Small Catechism as one of the many gifts that God has given us, then it's a very good thing. But when we misuse it, just like any other one of God's gifts that can be misused and abused, then it's a very bad thing. I like the way that Luther put it. He was asked this very question in his in Table Talk. Somebody asked if the light of reason was useful to theology, and here's how he answered it. He said, "I make a distinction. Reason that's under the devil's control is harmful, and the more clever and successful it is, the more harm it does. We see this in the case of learned men who, on the basis of their reason, disagree with the Word. On the other hand, when illumined by the Holy Spirit, reason helps to interpret the Holy Scriptures. So reason, when illuminated by the Spirit, helps faith by reflecting on something, but reason without faith isn't and can't be helpful. But reason that's illuminated takes all its thoughts from the Word. The substance remains and the unreal disappears when reason is illuminated by the Holy Spirit." And so it's a very, very good thing when it's illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And how do we know it's being illuminated by the Holy Spirit? Exactly as Luther said, when it takes all of its thoughts from the Word.
I want to come back to that. Sam Harris, famous skeptic and new atheist, says that faith by definition is believing something with absolutely no factual basis for it, with absolutely no evidence. That's his definition of faith. Is that the Bible's definition of faith?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, when God talks about believing in Him and trusting in Him throughout both the Old and the New Testament, He constantly appeals to the fact that He is worthy of belief and worthy of trust based upon the way in which He has interacted with His people throughout history. So, for example, He will invite them to believe in Him and trust in Him based upon the acts that He has performed in the past, doing things like preserving their life through famine, doing things like delivering them from slavery in Egypt, and a whole host of other things. And, of course, as Christians, we look back to the cross and we see God's faithfulness and His love and mercy shown to us there. And so we're not necessarily asked to believe things apart from and without any proof whatsoever, but instead what faith is it's a heartfelt trust and a belief in what we know to be true. Sometimes we can use our reason and our intellect in order to better understand things. Other times, things that God reveals are beyond our reason or our intellect. So it really depends on the specific thing that we're talking about. But trying to paint us as sort of these dim-witted, anti-intellectuals simply isn't the case. And all you have to do is read some of the Christians throughout history, read Luther, read Aquinas, read other Christians, and you'll find that they were anything but anti-intellectual.
So how did we gain the reputation of being dim-witted or anti-intellectual?
Well, you know, there are a number of studies that have been done on this, and from my studies and my experience, I mean, you really tend to find it really beginning to come out, at least in this country, with the Scopes monkey trial. When people really started to turn from the creation account contained in the book of Genesis to Darwinian evolutionary theory. And what happened is Christians, at least initially, didn't really seem to want to rise to the occasion of testing fact against Darwin's theories of evolution, at least not as a whole. Instead, what many of them did is simply quoted the opening chapters of Genesis, and that was good enough for them, and God says it, that settles it, and that's the end of it. And that's a wonderful sort of idea and a wonderful disposition to have within the church. When you're talking to other Christians, the thing that should settle the dispute is the Word of God and that alone. However, when you're talking to people who don't believe the Word of God, then quoting it is going to do very little good, and it just looks like we're doing nothing but engaging in circular reasoning. Since then, that kind of attitude has proliferated, and especially today, when we have this postmodern idea sort of proliferating, Christians tend to want to retreat from any idea of objective truth and just say, well, this is my truth, this is what I believe, you go ahead and believe what you want to believe. And so when somebody who has sort of a sharpened intellect comes along, somebody like a Richard Dawkins or a Sam Cooke or whoever, they can perceive us as being anti-intellectual and frankly quite stupid, when of course that hasn't been the case historically.
Now, to be fair, at least my theory is, my operating theory is that Christians today, especially Christians in America, do suffer from a dearth of brain cells. I mean, if they have the cells, they're not using them. Christianity has lived up to its reputation in a lot of ways of being anti-reason or anti-intellectual, hasn't it?
I think that it has, unfortunately, but I wouldn't necessarily just limit that to Christians. I would limit that, well, not necessarily limit it, but I would certainly apply it to Americans as a whole. We simply don't think anymore. We make decisions based upon what we feel, not upon things that we consider to be objective facts. We don't think deeply about things. We believe what our favorite politician tells us. We believe what movie stars have to tell us. We believe just about anything and everything without thinking critically or deeply about it. We've simply seemed to have lost the ability to do those things in the way that we have in the past. And we need to summon Americans in the civil society to do that again and to think deeply and critically about issues. And we need to do that especially within the Christian faith as well, to summon those within the church to use the reason that God has given. Jesus, when he was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said it was to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And we particularly have lost that drive to love God with all of our mind in the Christian faith today.
I don't know if you've put it this way so far. I don't think you have yet. So let's talk about two distinctions that the Reformers made when it came to reason. As cautious as they were about the ability of reason to wrongly usurp the place of God's Word, not faith, but the place of God's Word, they would talk about things beneath the Christian and things above the Christian, making a distinction in many ways, but in particular, how reason might be useful to the Christian. What is it?
Sure. Well, there are a couple of different ways we can look at it, but I think what they're getting at specifically, just like when we talk about freedom and things above versus freedom and things below, when we talk about things that are more related to what we might consider the civil realm, when we talk about everyday types of choices that we make, should I purchase this car? Your reason is perfectly capable of evaluating that question. You look at how much the car is, you look at what you got in your bank account, you look at your monthly balance, and you see whether or not you're able to afford that car. You don't just say, well, I don't have any money in my account, I'm going to go ahead and step out in faith and buy this car anyway. That would be, of course, a misuse of reason and a misapplication of God's Word and the faith that he has delivered to us once for all. So there's an example of something that is perhaps below us, something that's in the civil realm, something that reason is very capable of doing. What reason is incapable of doing is understanding God completely and in every respect. So, for example, when we talk about great and deep mysteries of the faith, things like the Trinity, how is it that there can be only one God who exists simultaneously as three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, reason is never going to lead us to fully understand that kind of thing. When we want to have answers for that, we don't turn to our reason, but instead we turn to revelation. We turn to God's self-disclosure, where he tells us what he's like, and in his word, he tells us that he is, in fact, one God who exists as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And also things that we experience each and every week in church, things like the real presence of Christ and the Lord's Supper. How is it that Jesus can be many places at one time and yet still retain a human body? Well, we don't have all the answers to that, but we know that it's true because Jesus says that it is. So those would be examples of things that are above us. When it comes to things above, we believe God's word. When it comes to things below, he invites us to use our reason. And in places like Psalm 32, he tells us not to be like a horse or a mule without understanding, but instead to use the God-given faculties that he's given us.
Is it really a question of whether reason is servant or master?
It most certainly can be, absolutely. Now, the difficulty there is that, at least within the Christian faith, you're very rarely ever going to run into somebody who claims to believe that they're using their reason in order to be the master of God's word. But the fact of the matter is that you can tell by the types of questions that are asked and the types of objections that are being raised to certain things, whether or not they actually are doing that in point of fact. But the bottom line is that reason is a gift that God has given us, and he's given it to us to be used in service to him and in service to our neighbor, not to master him, not to stand as a judge over his word, but instead to be used beneath the authority of the word in order to serve and in order to do the best that we possibly can to glorify the one who redeemed us by his blood.
Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. We've got another 15 minutes with him on the other side of the break, live this Tuesday afternoon, April the 12th. We're talking faith and reason. Really, we should be talking the Word of God and reason, because these are the two things that act as a greater authority and then a lesser authority. As long as reason is the handmaiden of God's Word, then it's good and it's necessary. When it seeks the highest place, when it seeks to rule over God's Word, then it must be disregarded. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
What does God's Word teach about prayer, the Holy Spirit, baptism, angels and demons, the Lord's Supper, creation, marriage and family, predestination, and the end times? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Lutheran Difference by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, The Lutheran Difference.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program, Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the 4-day, 3-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back. We're talking about faith and reason. The Word of God and man's God-given reason. You know, one of the places where this becomes very evident is in the differences between what Christians believe on certain doctrines. And I've discovered that it is true. Where people deviate from God's Word, the authority of God's Word, from God's, when they deviate on these teachings, one of two things is at work. Either they are allowing their experience to trump God's Word, or they're allowing their reason to trump God's Word. You can see evidence of it in the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference, An Explanation and Comparison of Christian Beliefs. You can find out more about this book. It's a tremendous resource on all these doctrinal issues. Issuesetc.org. You'll find it on every page of our website, issuesetc.org, or call and order The Lutheran Difference from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for The Lutheran Difference, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and reason. How did the Enlightenment's view of reason, Pastor Parks, invent liberal Christianity as we know it in the 21st century?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, the Enlightenment essentially says that you know, things that don't jive with human reason, things that tend not to make sense to us, probably aren't true. And so, you know, what they started to do was to want to get rid of things like the miracles that we have in the pages of the New Testament. So, for example, you know, a lot of liberals will say, well, you know, with the feeding of the thousands, it wasn't really that Jesus multiplied fish and loaves. But instead, what he did is he preached a sermon on selflessness, and everybody who brought their lunches along with them that day but kept them hidden because they didn't want to share them, all of a sudden felt this felt strangely warmed, and they decided to go ahead and share their lunch with one another. And that was the real miracle, is people who were before selfish are now being selfless and sharing with those in need. And, of course, that doesn't have anything to do with what it is that the text actually teaches us happened. And so basically what you see in the Enlightenment is an enshrinement of reason over and against the Word of God. And this is exactly what you see in modern Christianity, modern liberal Christianity as well, when things like the Trinity are questioned because they don't seem to make a lot of sense to us, or things like the bodily resurrection of Jesus. How could he possibly have risen from the dead again on the third day when we know that dead bodies tend to stay dead, and so on? And so it really knocks the entire faith, because it knocks the entire gospel out from underneath us. We worship the God who becomes incarnate, who dies on the cross, and who rises again for our justification. And when we enshrine reason above the Word, we're misusing that gift, and we're kicking the faith out from underneath us entirely.
I mean, what it eventually leads to, and you can see this in liberal denomination after liberal denomination, is eventually they even abandon reason. And suddenly one's own experience becomes the governor of what is true or not. I mean, reason was just a pretext to get rid of God's Word.
Yeah, I think what you're really going to find, and I think you've pointed this out a number of times in both print as well as on your show here, and that is that ultimately what happens is people begin to go along with culture. And so while reason was very, very popular during the Enlightenment, the use of reason isn't really that popular today. And so as a result of that, what you see liberal Christians going along with today isn't so much sound principles of reasoning, but how they feel. And you brought this out especially well, I think, in your analysis of some of the recent decisions the ELCA has made in regards to homosexuality.
Kevin in Riverview, Florida, has this for you, Pastor Parks. He says, how can you help faithful Christians see the warning signs that they may be using reason over trusting Scripture? For that matter, how can you help them when they are trying to find a scriptural answer for everything, even if you believe Scripture is silent on an issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that there are two things that we could say to that. The first thing is that encourage them to take a look, a very careful look, at the types of questions or the objections that are being raised. So, for example, when I speak to other Christians and other denominations, and we talk about things like the Lord's Supper, they will ask questions like, well, how can that possibly be true? How can Jesus be in more than one place at one time? How can a human body be omnipresent, and that sort of thing? And in respect to that, while I certainly understand why they might ask those questions, what they're not doing is they're not saying, how can that be true because the Word of God says, and then they'll, you know, go on to quote a scripture or what have you. The point is that they're using reason. They're bringing objections from their own mind. They're trying to guess or intuit what Jesus' body might be like instead of listening to what he says regarding the Lord's Supper, namely, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. So I think one of the key things to do is to listen to the types of questions or objections that are being raised. Are they being raised based upon the scriptures themselves, or are they instead being raised upon certain presuppositions that we may have in our own head? The second thing is, I think, just to remind people what it is that scripture was given to us for. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So we're not called necessarily to use the Word of God for everything. To go back to the decision that I made earlier, or the example that I gave earlier, Scripture doesn't tell me, for example, what car I ought to buy. Scripture doesn't give me the name of the woman that I ought to marry. It gives us certain principles that we can use as we make those decisions. However, we need to make sure that we don't look at the Bible as being anything other than what it tells us to be, which is primarily a record and a way in which the forgiveness of sins are communicated to us because of what Jesus has done for us in history.
Steve in Rochester, Minnesota asks this: why is there such a fideistic, and you'll have to explain that term, why is there such a fideistic attitude toward truth among Missouri Synod Lutherans? I often run into that, or else I run into, quote, that is what we believe is a sort of postmodern response to society's disagreement and with us on worldviews and morals. Fideism is not only epistemologically questionable, but I think, says Steve in Rochester, Minnesota, pastorally unwise, as when students leave their homes and go to the university, a fideistic-only defense for, say, a six-day creation, the fall, the redemption, is going to last about as long as an ice cube in a blast furnace. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to define fideism, to kind of put it in just a succinct way, fideism is faith in faith. How do I know that I'm saved? I know that I'm saved because I believe. There's an example of fideism, or just this idea that I just believe because I do. It's the idea that much of our culture has about Christianity, but we have to remember that when it comes to faith, faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed, and the object in which our faith is placed ought never to be itself. But instead, we're called to look outside of ourselves to the person of our Savior who gave himself unto death for the forgiveness of all of our sins. We're called to look at his word, which brings to us that forgiveness. And so we don't want to engage in a fideism, but instead we want to have our faith be placed in its proper object, certainly not itself, but in Christ and in his word. I think one of the reasons that we tend to encounter that so much within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is because we're monergists, which is to say we believe that God does all of the work of conversion from beginning to end so that he gets the credit for our conversion, for our faith, and for our belief in Christ. And we sometimes worry that if we give reason any place whatsoever in our lives, that somehow we're saying that we reasoned ourselves into the faith, or that if we as Christians use reason when we talk to non-believers, that we're trying to argue them into the faith. And of course, that simply cannot be done. The only thing that's going to bring somebody to faith is the Holy Spirit working through his powerful word. And so we want to make sure that we certainly don't fall into fideism, trusting in Christ and his word, looking outside of ourselves. But we also don't want to say that reason plays absolutely no role, because God tells us in the very word which we trust that it does play a certain role, plays a subservient role, but a role nonetheless.
Then with only a minute, would you sort out two famous Luther quotes, one from they're both from his catechism, one on the Apostles' Creed: I believe that God has made me and all creatures, and he has given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses. And then elsewhere, where he will say famously in his explanation of the third article of the Creed, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. With less than a minute, how do you sort those two out?
Sure. The reason is a gift when it's used in service to God's word, when it's a gift that is not being misused, placed above God's word, or in order to try to tear apart God's word. And so just as I can use my eyesight as a gift of God, let's say to guide somebody safely across a street, or just as I can use the gift of hearing by listening to God's word in a way in which God intends, so I can use my reason in a way in which God intends, namely in service to my neighbor and in order to glorify him. But I can also misuse my eyesight by looking at things that I ought not to look at, and I can misuse the gift of hearing by listening listening to things that I shouldn't. And so also I can misuse reason when I use it to attack God's word. And in that way, this is exactly what Luther speaks against when he says that reason isn't going to lead us to God all by itself, but instead the Holy Spirit working through his word brings us to faith in Christ. But once we're there, reason still plays a role. It's still a gift, and we have to acknowledge it as that.
Pastor Stephen Parks is pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver, author of a recent article in Higher Things magazine titled Use and Abuse, The Proper Role of Reason in the Christian Faith. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute about a California bill that would require school textbooks to incorporate pro-homosexual information. We'll see what she thinks about that tomorrow. Thursday, we'll discuss priesthood and ministry. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. Then Friday on Issues Etc., we will talk with Dr. Clay Jones of Biola University about Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. Very popular book among conservatives, but her objectivist philosophy is, well, let's just be honest, it's atheism. So why is Ayn Rand so popular among conservatives when she herself was an atheist? We'll find out Friday on Issues Etc. Reason is a gift, but reason must always be kept in service of God's word and what God tells us. This is what Paul means when he talks about taking every thought captive to Christ and having the mind of Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Sunday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.